on NFL.com's fantasy website late Tuesday night. The top added fantasy players, I'll just do the top 10, start with the most, Tyrone Tracy, and then going down the list, Bam Knight, Kamani Vidal, Kareem Hunt, Ronda Gadsden, Troy Franklin, Christian Watson, Sam Darnold, Kayshon Boutte, Zach Charbonnet. They have a lot in common. Pretty much all of them, except, I guess, Bam Knight, because he had a bye, had big games this past week. So we would expect that. And of course, it's important to think about who might have a big game next week, because then we can pick them up before they become really expensive to pick up, especially if you have a free agent, waiver budget that you work with, a budget cap. You're not spending an arm and a leg on a guy that you can get the week before. I talked about this last week, getting a Ronda Gadsden on the cheap Sunday morning 2 weeks ago before his first of two breakouts, which saved me probably $50 out of a $200 fab budget. I think actually in my league, or in other leagues in my whole grand league of Premier Fantasy Football League, there's like 10, 11 divisions. He was going for $60-70 in some divisions. So getting them early is great, but we don't always know who's going to hit. And so the most added generally are the guys who hit big and who are available. The availability of these guys is fascinating. Going into this past weekend, the roster shift, the percentage of leagues on the NFL.com fantasy website that rostered Tracy was only 35.5%. And going down the list, from Bam Knight down to Zach Charbonnet, those percentages are 5.5, 71.9, 20.4, 53, 10.6, 5.1, 31.1, 32.2, and 55.4. So there's three examples of guys who were rostered in at least 50% of leagues. That's Vidal, Gadsden, and Charbonnet. All three had repeat great performances. So, there was a sense of, I can't remember with Vidal, I think he had more than one going into this past week, but there was a sense of, oh, this is somebody who's going to keep things going for a while. The idea with Vidal is, who knows when Marion Hampton's coming back. So it's Vidal's backfield for a while and that people rush to get him. And then there's that, a third of leagues, Darnold, who's a, streamer. Of a quarterback, so it kind of makes sense that he's rostered in about a third of leagues, but some people just don't feel, I can get another streamer if I need to, I can drop him. Kayshon Boutte, who's had some big games, but, also some busts, so you kind of take a flyer on him. And then Tyrone Tracy coming back from his injury, kind of backing up Cam Scatabo, basically. And people go, if I have room for a glorified handcuff, great. But not every league has that luxury. And then there are those guys who really were incredibly under-rostered. Bam Knight coming off a bye week. Everyone else had played last week. Bam Knight coming off the bye week at 5.5%. Troy Franklin at 10.6. Ultra streaky. I think he had one, maybe two good games before this. But in a pretty crowded Denver passing attack, it was dominated by Cortland Sutton, but you never knew if Marvin Mims was going to step up or Evan Engram or Pat Bryan or whatever. Christian Watson coming back from his injury kind of makes sense. It's crowded receiving core. Let's see if Watson can even stay healthy. He's had injury history. So the breakdown kind of makes sense when you look at it that way. And of course, Kareem Hunt, a three-headed backfield at 20.4%. But now Isaiah Pacheco is out. Hunt's coming off a two-touchdown game. Of course, people are going to flock to him because it looks like he's going to be the guy to roster in that backfield, or at least the safest one for the foreseeable future. What I find really fascinating about this list, this top 10, is that if you go back to the start of week one, right before the games all started, right before we saw it happen, those percentages, starting with Tyrone Tracy going down to Zach Charbonnet, were Tracy was rostered 98% of leagues, and then going down the list, 0% for Knight, 0% for Vidal, 5.2% for Hunt, 0% for Gadsden, 0.7% for Franklin, 1.1% for Watson, 6.5% for Darnold, 0.2% for Booth and 56.7% for Charbonnet. Tracy and Charbonnet were the known commodities. Tracy was expected to be the starter for the Giants. Charbonnet was expected to be the 1B for the third straight year, I think, for Seattle, with a chance to ascend. That was basically the breakdown. Everyone else was unrosterable, essentially. Or at least, but, you know, that was what the universe was saying. The fantasy universe. In reality, we see by midseason, all these guys are hot commodities. When back heading into week one, only two were hot commodities. The rest were forgettable. After that first week, we started to see, you know, a little bit of movement. A little bit of movement from Hunt up to into double digits, you know, rostership. A little bit of movement from Boot into double digit rostership. And by week four, we saw that grow so that Hunt, Franklin, you know, Darnold were starting to get more attention. There was a certain point, this inflection point with fantasy players, this is the last thing I'm going to say, where we have to try to figure out at what point is what they're doing the start of a trend. And I did a podcast episode, I guess, a week ago, a week and a half ago, about Vidal and kind of figuring out that his game, he had one huge game against Miami and a terrible game, relatively speaking, against the Colts. And that this third game last week was going to help define the trend. Was he going to be the standalone bell cow? Was he going to earn that? Or was he going to flop and go into a timeshare kind of backfield until Hampton returned? Remember, he had a terrible first half. I mean, he did score, but I mean, I think he had like 11 rushes for 19 carries. So we're trying to anticipate, what is the trend? Is the trend, I should go get this guy because he's on the verge of a breakout? Or is the trend, I should go drop this guy because he is on the verge, or he is in this middle, and it's going to keep going, of a decline? And I would put Cooper Kupp in that category. He's a guy that I drafted, I think, 8th, 9th round in my 14-team league. And for some reason, I still have him. And I'm kicking myself about it. I keep thinking, well, maybe he'll break out. Maybe this is the week, you know, that he'll really come through and look like Kupp. He probably won't. And so I'm sitting here saying the trend is that he's not. The trend, and that it's not even youth is on his side. You could say Troy Franklin had the trend of kind of being mired in the streakiness of greatness and then complete unstartability. But the advantage of Franklin is that he had youth on his side. Kupp doesn't. Kupp is post-prime. And so the trend is more solidified once he starts breaking down, once he starts collapsing as a fantasy commodity. So we're thinking about guys to pick up on Sunday morning, kind of like I did with Gadsden a couple of weeks ago, and I'm sure you all have done similar stuff with other players. It's important to think about who is on the verge of a trend upwards. And sometimes it comes down to looking at the landscape of their depth chart and trying to figure out if they have a good game today, does that well position them well to have a lot more targets and or a lot more touches going forward. This is BJ Riddell, Fantasy Football for Winners. Follow me on the blog. Email me anytime. Good luck with your waiver ads. See you tomorrow.